Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of solutions and the podcast of hope. And I'm your host, Rory Hearn, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined back on the podcast again by Dr. Niamh Cummins, who is a public health researcher and educator who is specialized in the area of mental health in acute health care. Niamh, thanks so much for coming back on Reboot Republic. It didn't scare you away.
Thanks, Rory. No, it was a very positive experience.
Great. Well, listen, Niamh, just before we start and get into the conversation, I know we want to cover, this is the weekend of Darkness into Light, organized by Pieta House, and we want to highlight that. And really, I suppose if people can, they can go over to Pieta House and donate to that. The podcast will probably be going out in or around when the event is taking place. It's taking place Saturday morning, the 8th of May. And you can go over into www.darknessintolight.ie to support that. And Niamh, before just we explain why you think Darkness into Light is important, we were just tic-tacking before the podcast around would we do it or would we not? And I was like, oh, my head's melted. I'm just like, you know, wrecked. And, you know, I suppose it's interesting, isn't it? We're all, I think, under a lot of pressure. And even I was struck this week by my kids who are coming back from school and crying and cranky, and you know, talking to my 7-year-old this morning about, and she was saying, is I said, you know, hopefully we'll be vaccinated, you know, as adults we'll be vaccinated by the summer, you know, and hopefully we'll get down to our family down the country. And and she was like, and what about me, you know, will I get vaccinated? And we were like, oh, we don't know, you know, the vaccine mightn't be, you know, ready for children yet. And she started to like well up, her tears welled up in her eyes. And she was like, oh, and we're like, what's wrong? And she said, oh, what if I bring COVID into the kids in my class, you know? And it's just like, there's a lot of, I don't know how you describe it. There's a lot of, you know, stress, challenges to our mental health, emotions, you know, which are all perfectly normal and right. But, you know, it's a funny time, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Rory. Yeah, it's very hard. It's been so hard on everyone. And I suppose completely unprecedented as well, you know, in our generation, you know, something like the COVID-19 pandemic. And the impact on mental health has been described as a pandemic within a pandemic. But it's just been really hard on everyone, on every generation. And I suppose the different generations have different challenges. You know, it's impacted different groups differently. Like it's, you know, really hard on kids. Like you said, your poor daughter, like, for that age group, I suppose it's hard for them to see beyond this, you know, whereas, you know, for our age group, you know, we know this is something like this too will pass, you know.
Yes.
But for them, you know, it's hard. Like it's probably, you know, even they were out of school for so long, and it's probably even hard for them to remember like what life was like before this happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to kind of have that perspective, I suppose, for the younger kids. And then, you know, for our generation, I suppose it's just been kind of hard from, you know, working and having kids and trying to homeschool and all manage childcare and all that sort of stuff has been really hard. And then worrying about our parents' generation and all of that and the burden of that care, I suppose. And then for the older adults, it's just, you know, if they've been cocooning, like that's so hard, you know, and then they're most at risk. There's just that fear of infection as well. So it's just been a really, really challenging time for everyone. And, you know, that's without even going into all the practical side of it in terms of, you know, loss of income for people who, you know, wish businesses closed and all of that. So, yeah, it's been hard. But I think there's, you know, hope on the horizon. We're starting to open up again. Obviously, the vaccine program is rolling along. So, you know, we're getting there.
Yeah. And how are you doing this evening? This afternoon?
Grand. Yeah. Like, you know, you said yourself you had a bit of a melty head, and I think that's a good description I think a lot of us have had. And yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I've had one of those days a little bit that things have gone a little bit pear-shaped, but you look, it's grand.
It's mad, isn't it, how we just get along, you know, and so much of, you know, these things hit us every day, and you know, we get through it. And of course, you know, we're privileged as well, and you know, in our own ways. And you know, this it's mad that we actually do get through each day, you know. And
yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, there's like every day there's something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the other day my little fella, I still can't find childcare, you know. I have a 16-month-old, and I think I was turned away by 3 crushes in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's hard.
Because you're a troublemaker, is it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, if he's anything like me anyway, poor child. But yeah.
What do you mean you were turned away by crushes? They were full.
They're all full, yeah. They're just, they're all full, and particularly for his age group, you know. And but the other day, he took an absolute hopper. You know, he's walking, and he had a little trip and face planted into the coffee table. And my heart just, I thought I was going to end up in the emergency department myself, like where my work is based. But he was fine. But, you know, things like that, every day there's something, you know. But you just roll along, don't you?
You do. But I suppose it's important as well to try and, you know, that we do take the time and we do try and consider, you know, life in terms of our mental health. And it's something that, you know, we talk so much about still, you know, our physical health, you know, but we still don't talk about how we mind our mental health, not just talk about it, but really value it, do we?
Yeah, no, we don't. And like, you know, and broadly, like I suppose, you know, society or the government like doesn't either value it. Like the, you know, the amount of funding that goes into, you know, our physical health compared to our mental health is, you know, just the difference is vast, you know. But I think like we're getting better for talking about it. And if there's, you know, a positive to come from the COVID-19 pandemic, it probably is that people are a bit better about talking about their mental health, you know, about their wellness. There's a lot of talk about resilience and how you can build that up. I'd be a little bit skeptical about some of that. I mean, I think we're definitely much better about talking about, you know, I'm having a bad day, you know, and definitely, I mean, like you mentioned there, like, you know, the challenges that everyone's found it hard. And, you know, I think like everyone in their lives has experienced low mood, you know, a bad day, low mood, be it for whatever reason that is, be it grief, you know, because of a debt in the family, or, you know, just a hard day, or whatever it is. Everyone has experienced some form of low mood. But actually, well, I suppose serious mental illness, I don't know if we're actually getting really better at talking about that. You know, like the stigma is definitely still there in that regard. And that's something I think we kind of still need to work on.
And how do we talk about that? Because, you know, it's interesting. You know, when I look back through my life, I can see periods when I, you know, it's difficult to say, you know, was I sick with my mental health? You know, I definitely went through, you know, a few periods of depression following grief, you know, loss of my father in my, you know, early, late teens. And I look back and see, you know, weeks upon months where I just couldn't get out of the bed. And, you know, and then that's, you know, and that's again, you know, different then, of course, you know, you have people who are, you know, actually really, really, really unwell and sick, and to the point at which, you know, they want to end their life. They want to, you know, they're self-harming. There's, you know, there's people who are, you know, need that much more deeper medical intervention. There's therapy. Mm-hmm. There's, how do we talk about these different forms of, you know, the spectrum of how our mental health is, and the difference between mental health, as you say, illness, and just, you know, general mental health? How do we talk about that? Because you're right, there is still absolutely a stigma around that mental illness side. Maybe you could, your views on that. It's even hard for me. I even find this hard talking about it, you know, and what words to use, what language to use, how do you describe it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's about just not being afraid, I suppose, to talk about it and not be, you know, you know, like the more we talk, the better, definitely. And like, I mean, it's hard to kind of say where you draw that line between. I mean, like I would have said, if you were, you know, that sick that you aren't able to get out of bed every day, like, then you probably, you know, that's serious enough depression, you know, not to be diagnosing you now, obviously. I'm grand now. but you know what I mean? And I've had my own struggles in that regard as well, in terms of mental health, you know, and I've, you know, used mental health services. And, you know, like, I mean, I think just the more we talk about it, the better. You know, if somebody, you know, tells you something, then just, you know, listen, like be open to listening, I think is a big thing. You know, this kind of, are you a grand, you're a grand, you know, kind of like that Irish kind of, you know, we're quite good for doing that, I think, sweeping things under the carpet. And
I think it's a hard one. And maybe just we'll to focus on the what we wanted to put emphasis on and highlight in the podcast was the Pieta House, Darkness into Light. And maybe you could outline for you why you feel that's important, why it's an important event.
Yeah, I think it's such an important event. And I don't know if you've seen that program. I only saw it, I suppose, in the last 6 months or so. It's about the founding of Darkness Into Light and the family and the history behind it. And it was extremely powerful, like, you know, a hard watch, you know. But you know, it was just such an important charity, and it's such an important event, I think. Like we've just been talking there about the stigma around mental health, and that's one reason it's important, because it gets people talking, you know. Another reason, I suppose, is that it brings people together. Now, obviously, this year it's socially a distant event, and they're going to walk and run and cycle and swim, even maybe, you know, on their own. But it's such an important event for getting people together. And then I suppose the last element of it is the funding, because, you know, there are gaps in the mental health services, and it's very unfortunate that those gaps have to be filled by charities. But that is the reality of it, and it is very important that those services are there, because you know, anyone who needs help, there should be something there for them. You know, if you want to reach out, then like Pieta House is a fantastic service in that regard. So yeah.
And in terms of Pieta House, you know, in terms of their key services, maybe could you explain a little bit in terms of what they do?
Yeah, so they have therapists that if you call up, then you can be assigned to a therapist who can talk you through you know, any issues that you have. They've, you know, they have a helpline, you know, that you can call if you feel like you're in trouble a little bit. You know, obviously there's, you know, we're focusing in on Pieta House, but there's, you know, other services like the Samaritans that are really, really important as well. I suppose I would just say as well to people that you know, like, you use your actual, you know, the medical services as well. Like, always talk to your GP, if, you know, they'd be very open to having the conversation if you feel like you're struggling with your mental health. You know, in a moment of crisis, in serious crisis, obviously the emergency department is there, and the National Ambulance Service, and that's what they're there for, you know, to be used in those instances.
Yeah. And just on that, the Pieta House 24/7 crisis helpline is 1-800-247-247, and you can text HELP to 51444. So that's there for people if they if it's there if people need it, or if they want to pass it on to others. And just maybe on that, you know, how do you you know, your area is, you know, as you say, emergency care. How do you feel that, or how, what in your experience and what you've, you know, researched and come across, you know, how are we doing in terms of responding to crisis situations in terms of mental health?
So there's definitely been a lot of improvements, Rory. You know, most of the emergency departments now record, you know, data on self-harm and suicide attempts, and those are all collated by the National Suicide Research Foundation and the National Office of Suicide Prevention. They do fantastic work in UCC. We've just been Dr. Ella Arendsman has just been appointed as the first prof of public mental health in the country, which is, you know, really important. So definitely making progress in that regard. Most of the emergency departments now would have a private room, which wouldn't have been the case in the past, you know. So if somebody is in a mental health crisis, then, you know, they can have that privacy. There's definitely a long way to go, you know. The National Clinical Programme for Mental Health is looking at developing alternative care pathways to the emergency department, because I suppose that's one of the things I would feel quite strongly about, and sort of a research program I'm hoping to develop is looking at, I suppose, those alternative models. Because if you haven't been physically harmed, but you are having mental health crises, I mean, in some ways the emergency department is the worst place you can be. You know, it's a crowded environment, it's a stressful environment. So it's, you know, it could exacerbate a mental health crisis. So having somewhere alternative to go, I hear from the National Clinical Programme that they're developing hubs that are, you know, alternative places that somebody can be brought to where they can receive appropriate care. You know, so that's really important. But definitely, I mean, I suppose in terms of mental health services generally, there's a lot of gaps there, particularly in relation to child, adolescent mental health services. You know, the waiting lists are very, very long. So there's a lot of work to be done in that regard in terms of resourcing mental health.
And in terms of that alternative pathways, as you say, because obviously there's the whole, again, you know, there's the crisis response and then there's prevention, that even the CAMHS itself, that is quite a medicalized model. And, you know, the question is that appropriate in all situations? And is there a need to provide more, for example, public therapy and those sort of, you know, supports and responses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, it should be kind of, you know, there should be multiple kind of, you know, services put in place, you know, because it's not just about that medicalized approach, as you said, you know, it's not just about medication, definitely not. Like for a lot of people, you know, talking therapies and CBT and all those, you know, sorts of interventions are very effective. And even things like just connectedness, social connectedness, you know, the power of kind of peer support is really important. And even things like, you know, increasing physical activity and healthy diet, you know, getting enough sleep, all of those sorts of interventions are really important in mental health, you know, and we probably kind of do need to focus in a bit on those as well and kind of be, you know, increase awareness of the importance of those, you know, from a public health perspective as well.
And in terms of, you know, when you look at it, where are we in this? Like, because what you're pointing there is some positive potential ways forward. But still, you're saying, you know, there's these gaps that are there and, you know, these are, you know, clearly put out as plans. But, you know, what prospect do you see? Like, it feels to me it's a bit like the housing, you know, situation, that there's these, you know, kind of seeds of good ideas and some, you know, initiatives. But it's like tinkering around the edges rather than really going after and saying, you know, we're going to prioritize this and solve it and try and ensure that the supports are there. Do you feel is that a fair, you know, description? Or?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair description. Yeah. And actually, another point I should make, Rory, is that, you know, while we're talking about this, you know, obviously a lot of people have, you know, had mental health challenges during the pandemic. I think, you know, we always have to be really careful around reporting around mental health and around suicide attempts and that, because that sort of kind of sensationalized kind of, oh, you know, there's loads of suicides now, you know, is, you know, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to people. And there was some kind of, you know, there was kind of certain politicians that were kind of, you know, kind of parroting that kind of lines, you know, and the evidence wasn't actually there, you know, like say, there was a paper published recently in Lancet Psychiatry, which an international study, 21 countries, including Ireland, and actually there wasn't an increase in suicides during the first lockdown. And there was actually a decrease in some countries. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that, you know, while a lot of people are suffering, actually the evidence at the moment, you know, isn't that there has been a rise in suicides, and we just need to be careful around that. I think.
And why is that? Why do you say we need to be careful around that?
I suppose because it can impact on people if there's that perception out there that, you know, I suppose suicides are increasing, then it can increase fear for people, and it can, you know, if somebody is kind of, you know, as I said, having low mood and you know, in sort of a bit of a dark place, that, you know, I suppose they might see it as a solution. I think it more, you know, it's almost sort of that ripple effect. It almost normalizes it a little bit. You know, I think we just have to be quite careful in that regard. But definitely, you know, like I said, you know, that we have that awareness that, you know, that we, you know, we keep talking, I suppose, that would be an important thing.
Isn't that a difficult thing? Because we've seen, well, I saw, you know, in terms of figures put out there that, for example, eating disorders had increased during COVID. And, you know, people were saying in surveys that their mental health has increased. So it is important how do we talk about these things in a way that doesn't make them worse as well? Is that what you're saying there as well? How do we do that?
I was specifically there speaking about, I suppose, the suicide piece. I suppose there had been that kind of that narrative that, you know, the suicides had increased and almost the data was being hidden on that, whereas that wasn't the case at all. You know, there's always a time lag in reporting the suicides because of the fact that, you know, they have to be confirmed by coroners and, you know, it's not a straightforward piece. So that's specifically in relation to the suicides. But in relation to our mental health, I think it's, you know, it's really important that we do keep talking about that. And, you know, and particularly, I suppose, for young people, you know, it's really challenging time, you know, it's a lot of stress around, you know, like, I suppose we're coming up onto Leaving Cert now. And and even just return to school and all of that is really stressful. And we just need to keep talking about it. And, you know, for adults, that's just being open with younger younger people and kind of saying, you know, because I suppose our generation, we probably wouldn't talk about stuff like that, you know. So I think it's, you know, it's really important for parents to, you know, to talk to their kids and just be very open. Yeah.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Like it's, you know, it's new in many ways to us, like, you know, and I've, you know, had therapy that has given me in many ways language. Do you know what I mean? And my wife's an education psychologist, so I talk to her, and she, you know, we actually talk and the odd time, but you know, you read, you know, I've read, you know, tried to read around, you know, psychology and you know, tried to read a bit on parenting and you know, there's so much obviously psychology within that as well, and you know, it's learned through these experiences. And you know, we're not, you know, unlike, you know, the youth today who are getting this, you know, to a certain extent, but you know, definitely in schools, you know, have been taught about well-being and about all the different aspects and been able to speak about it and their emotional, you know, and my teenage son, you know, will talk to a certain extent, you know, he's still a teenager, you know, about their mental health, about that idea. Like we joke, like, you know, my dad would never have turned around to me and said, you know, how's the old mental health going? You know, it's just like, it's a different planet, you know, that we're.
Yeah. You know, I think it's actually really important that, you know, like I suppose high profile people kind of coming out and speaking about their mental health has been really, really valuable as well. You know, like I said, like my dad would have been the same, like he never would have talked about, you know, his mental health. And then there was one of the Dublin footballers on the Late Late Show there, going back just after Christmas, I think, and speaking about his mental health. And, you know, like that, my dad is a big, you know, GA fan and you know, kind of spoke to him, you know, because, you know, so he could identify with a lot of what he was saying. And I think that's really important, you know, in terms of like, you know, ending the stigma that, you know, that we just hear those voices, you know, you know, it's just really important.
And you know, it is, I think it is, and it's you know, it feels that, again, you know, we are talking about it more, but I still feel like I want to do you know, I want more education on it, you know, I want more, you know, ability to you know, communicate around it and to understand it and to be able to really, you know, communicate. Like I remember talking to I did a couple of parenting podcasts early on in the pandemic or midway through the pandemic, I can't remember when, it was some point in that fog of pandemic, and you know, and I remember going saying, you know, I wish there was like a parenting channel that you could, like, you know, tune into, like there's the odd show about it, and but there's so much that we need to learn about ourselves, understand about ourselves, and you know, we could, you know, there's ways. It's kind of like, I feel that there's ways our generation need to be educated. And how can we do that? How could we kind of, do you think, address that?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably public health has a role here. And I think that, you know, hopefully that's something that will be planned for now in the, you know, the kind of post-pandemic period, that, you know, there will be sort of those kind of, you know, educational programs on like mental health and how we talk about mental health. But I suppose I would think though very strongly that, you know, don't let fear of the topic or, you know, the lack of language stop you from talking about it. You know, like it's okay to just use whatever words you have, you know, like, are you okay? You know, are you having a bad day? You know, like, I think it's, you know, it's fine to just, you know, just keep talking, you know, whatever words you have, you know, just use them.
And it is about giving the space and the time to it as well, isn't it? That we actually do give that time.
Yeah, and listening as well, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, giving people a bit of space as well to, you know, to just give them time as well, you know, if you are chatting to somebody to, you know, just be open to kind of giving them a bit of space, I think, yeah.
And in terms of just, you know, as we go forward, what do you think are the kind of the key, I suppose, you know, we think now we're heading into the summer, you know, hopefully more and more people will be vaccinated, you know, that we will keep the cases down and we will keep, keep mandatory hotel quarantine in place and keep investing in public health. And that we, you know, we do get cases down. And obviously there's the issue around children. There's the issue around young people and COVID, and that there will be ongoing challenges. What do you think is the way forward for us, you know, dealing with and responding to and supporting our mental health in the coming months and years, do you think?
Yeah, I suppose in the shorter term, I suppose it's just around, just keeping talking and, you know, hopefully in the longer term, then we need more investment in mental health services, you know, from the government. We need hopefully those public health programs that we put in place that, you know, to educate people around the importance of mental health. I mean, I suppose let's call a spade a spade. You know, it's likely we may head for a recession and you know, that there will be challenges to go with that, you know, there's kind of the short term, like the short term effects, you know, that we're all struggling with at the moment, you know, just being in lockdown and the difficulties around that. But then in the longer term, there'll be, you know, those ripple effects from the pandemic itself, you know, like I said, if we head for a recession, and, you know, just, you know, all of the effects that will go with that around, you know, increased poverty, you know, increased, I suppose, just social deprivation and, you know, that those can increase, cause, you know, there's evidence that those do cause increases in mental health issues. So in the long term, there's definitely, you know, we need to be putting those strategies in place now and we need to be kind of, you know, like I said, ideally increasing investment in mental health. So hopefully we'll see that in the budget this year. Probably a bit early to be talking about that yet, but yeah, it's definitely something that's needed.
Yeah, I think that is really important that you know, that they can't turn around and not, you know, increase investment in mental health again, you know, in the budget. They have to, you know, they really do.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of, like, you know, while a lot of politicians talk about public health now, or mental health now, you know, it can't just be a tokenistic thing, you know, to just be, you know, just be saying, oh, you know, our wellness and our, you know, they have to put their money where their mouth is in that respect, you know. I think that's really important, you know. And like, you know, like things like even, you know, like I'd be quite involved in some work around, occupational well-being, you know, for healthcare workers. And,
yeah,
you know, it's all well and good to send, you know, like a non-consultant hospital doctor, a junior doctor, as they're termed, you know, who's worked a, you know, 24-hour shift, like sending them a link to yoga class and telling them, you know, this will help their wellness. Like, no, it won't really. Like, what will help them is not having to work a 24-hour shift, you know?
It is about creating the society that people can be well in. And you know, Niall Breslin-Brezzi says this very well. You know, he says, how can you be well in a sick society? And I think there is still something very powerful in that idea that, you know, the working conditions we put people through, you know, the poverty stresses, as you said, of things like poverty, you know, that we don't resource these services, we don't, you know, inequality, this all adds to mental health and you know, mental health issues. And these need to be addressed if we're actually going to really genuinely actually create a well society.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I suppose the most vulnerable in our society, you know, are most at risk of, you know, poor mental health and social determinants of health all go towards that as well. And I mean, you know, there's so much stuff already. Like, I mean, like I do some volunteer work with Direct Provision and there's, you know, I think there's been, you know, 4 people have taken their lives this year, you know, who live in Direct Provision. And that's just an absolute tragedy, you know. Like it's just a horrific system, and you know, and to have people living in that system for years is just so wrong. And you know, there's just a lot of work to be done still, I think.
There is. But again, I suppose, you know, what you were I suppose talking about from the outset in terms of Pieta House and the darkness into light, I think, you know, there is that those events like that are so important, as you said, for bringing people together. And kind of, I think that is the hope, that there is that kind of growing movement, you know, in society to talk about it and also to try and get mental health prioritized.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even like you mentioned Brezzy there, like, you know, he does fantastic work, and there's, you know, there's so much, there's brilliant work going on really around, you know, around the country. And Junari's, the lads there, they do great work, like Taxi Watch, and Derek does brilliant, you know, there's just so much, it's a lot of positive stuff. And then even from my perspective, I suppose on the work side, there's a lot of, you know, positive work going on as well, you know, like the new, I mentioned earlier, the National Suicide Research Foundation, they're just founding, and the National Office of Suicide Prevention, they're just founding a new research network for researchers who work in suicide prevention. And that's an all-island approach. And I think that's fantastic, you know, bringing together people who are doing work in the field. Like, I'm starting a new project, which is led by Dr. Louise Doyle in Trinity. And that's around looking at the experiences of paramedics in responding to mental health crises, and looking at their training needs, looking at their experiences, and looking at ultimately like improving services for people who are in mental health crises. And, you know, so there's a lot happening, you know, there's a lot of positives that we can focus on. And and yeah, I mean, we'll all look forward to darkness into light tomorrow morning. I mean, just symbolism of it, obviously, it's, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Moving from the darkness into the light.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just a reminder to people that is www.darknessintolight.ie, fundraising for Pieta House. And their helpline is 1-800-247-247. You can text HELP to 51444. Niamh Cummins, Dr. Niamh Cummins, thank you so much for joining me on Reboot to again highlight the issue of mental health and talk about it. And I really appreciate you coming on and helping me talk about it a bit. And hopefully, I know we will help our listeners as well, and they'll enjoy, because you know, talking about it and, you know, opening up the conversation and keeping it going, really. So appreciate you coming on.
Thanks very much, Rory. Thanks for having me.
And we'll have you back on again, definitely, Niamh, if you'll come back. And that's cheers. All. Listen, thank you so much. We won't do the patron shout out on this one. We'll hand it over to Pieta House. So if you can support Pieta House, Darkness into Light. And thank you very much. And we'll talk to you all soon.